I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. When AP Beirut bureau chief Terry Anderson was kidnapped in 1985, his wife was pregnant. Their daughter Suleyme was born just months after Anderson was seized by Shiite radicals. Although Suleyme was just a child during her father's years in captivity, her mother never hid from her what had happened.
I always had a picture of him under my pillow that I would kiss every night before I went to bed.
Suleyme Anderson says she thought of her father as bigger than life, almost a superhero, until one night when she was six and her mother woke her up from a deep sleep and they set out on a journey.
We got on an army plane and flew to Damascus, Syria, where I immediately fell asleep because I was very tired on a couch in the American embassy. And my father woke me up. And I remember thinking he didn't look anything like what I thought he would look like. Mm. And he said, you know, "Hi, I'm your father." And then he took my hand and all three of us, my mother, my father, and I, walked out of the embassy into this media circus. There was just, you know, people everywhere, hundreds and hundreds of people and noise and lights and cameras. And I just remember, you know, feeling his hand shake, and he had this big smile on his face, and all the news footage, he's beaming. But I remember feeling him sort of recoil from the noise and the lights.
I mean, it's hard to imagine how any family can just pick up as if nothing happened and just carry on after that. I know things quickly unraveled for your family after your father came back to live with you. You argued a lot. It was very tense. Why do you think that was?
My dad was very insistent that he was fine and unaffected by what happened. And on the surface, he seemed fine. I remember everybody saying, "Your father looks so much better than we thought he'd look." But I think the reality was he wasn't fine at all. And his way of coping with what happened to him was to build a wall around himself while he was in captivity. And it was very hard for him to come out from behind that wall and, you know, build a relationship with me.
So decades later, in your 20s, you set out to find the men who kidnapped your father. I know your father had his own explanation for who had held him. Why were you not willing to accept his version of events?
I accepted the version of events that I was told. It was just, as I became more familiar with the Middle East and with the situation in Lebanon, there were certain sort of dangling threads that I wanted to resolve.
You were reporting another story and then stumbled across a local Hezbollah member. You identify him only as the Masul or the official. He kind of needs to confess to you that he was among your father's captors, right?
Well, I had no idea who he was for a long time. He found out who my father was, you know, after we had spent some time together.
The Masul says, "If Terry Anderson comes to me today, to my house, I will embrace him and say I'm sorry, but I do not regret what I did." That sounds kind of contradictory to me. What was he trying to say?
Again, not to excuse anything that he's done, but he was very young when it happened. He was about 17 years old, and his country was being devastated by war. And, you know, he made these choices, and they were, you know, horrible, wrong, evil in many ways choices. But when I met him and when we finally started going into what happened, it was very clear to me that he was torn between this need to justify what he did and tell himself that it was for the good of his country and his people, and the very real human shame he was feeling because he knew that what he did was wrong.
So were you able to kind of come to some understanding with this man? And was that what he was trying to get to with you?
For a long time, I couldn't figure it out. I was saying, why is this man speaking to me about this? You know, he has no reason to, and every reason not to. There's still money for turning him or anyone else involved in these acts in to the FBI. And, you know, by the end, I figured out that what he really wanted from me was forgiveness. He wanted me to forgive him. And, you know, it was not easy for me to get to the place where I felt like I could. But when I did, it wasn't for his sake, but it was for my sake. And it was just a very cleansing experience to let go of that anger.
Did your father ever want to go back and meet this man, the Masul?
No, I asked him, you know, what would you say to him? Would you want me to say anything to him? And Dad said, I have nothing to say to him. I just want to move on, essentially.
How did he feel about your meeting, the Masul?
it was difficult for him, I think. He was worried about me, obviously, because this man had done terrible things and, you know, may or may not be capable of doing them again. But, you know, the thing is, my father is a reporter. I mean, he was a very good reporter. And I think mostly he was just impressed that I got him to talk to me. He was very proud of that.
Suleyma, you're very open in your book about your substance abuse, your struggle with your mental health. Do you trace these problems to the kidnapping of your dad and its aftermath?
I mean, to a certain extent, absolutely. I was diagnosed with a personality disorder in my early 20s, and there is a genetic component to that, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, when you look at the way my psyche was developed and was formed, there's no doubt that my experience and my family's experience played a huge role in forming my self-image, which, you know, was very negative for a long time.
So fast forward to the present. We've seen an alarming number of journalists abducted, some released, some murdered. Do you feel it's the same level of danger today as when Terry Anderson was held hostage, or has something changed?
Well, yeah. I mean, the way that in which Westerners are kidnapped now in Syria is, you know, completely different. The motivations are different. When my father was taken, it was because my father was valuable. His life was valuable to them. He was essentially human currency. They wanted to trade him for, you know, certain political gains or concessions. You know, he was valuable to them alive. Whereas now, you know, when ISIS kidnaps an American, it's because their death is more valuable to them than their life.
So you're married now. You've written this book, answered some questions for yourself. Do you feel you've turned the page on this ordeal?
I believe so. You know, it's very cliche to talk about how a book like this is cathartic, but it has brought my father and I much closer together. It's helped me understand what happened to him and, you know, process my own grief and loss and damage that this event had on my life. And the funny thing about my dad is, you know, as I said, he was so convinced for so long that there was nothing wrong with him. And until I started writing this book, I think he truly believed that, but when he understood what I was writing about and saw that my experience had been quite different, I think he started admitting to himself that, you know, he had suffered much more psychological damage than he thought. And now I just see him having all these emotions. It's like he's accessed part of himself that was unavailable to him previously.
Suleyma Anderson is the author of The Hostage's Daughter, A Story of Family Madness in the Middle East. It's about her search to find the kidnappers of her father, the former AP Mideast Bureau Chief, Terry Anderson. Thanks very much, Suleyma. Great to meet you.
Thank you for having me.